Anyhow, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You know, when I first got saved, I don't think I've ever even really preached a message out of this passage. And this is one of those. In my older Bible, I had it between Colossians and 1 Thessalonians. It's just like highlighter marks everywhere. You know what I mean? You got passages in your Bible that are the same way, I'm sure. But I'll tell you what, devil has beaten me up over this passage. I think what I'm going to do just for this service, I'm just going to go through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 for Sunday school and the main service. There's a lot of good verses in this chapter. And when you put it down, I mean, I got convicted over it. I mean, there's just so much there that just, it's basic too. It's element, and we forget just how, I mean, like pastor's sick. A lot of other places have sick pastors right now. You know, everybody's going through something. But God is able. God's still God. God's still powerful. God still answers prayer. And the power comes from Him. And we can go to Him for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, we'll just kind of start there. It says, Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God, in the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, I'm sorry, this was in chapter number 1. I did tell you to go to chapter 2. I want to get to chapter number 2, but I think since it has been a couple weeks, we'll read chapter number 1. Thank you so much. Verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in the trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time we used flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own selves, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring day and night, because you would not be chargeable. We would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you and that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in also you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like many things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, and but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or even crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. You know what? In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1, he says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you. You know, that goes right back there to Acts chapter number 17. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but that's where the start of this began. Acts chapter number 17, this their entrance into them. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. And when they first came into this church, in Acts chapter 17, verse number 1, says, now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, which was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So what did he do? He just went in this place and he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. What was he reasoning them with? I'm glad you asked. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He's just telling them the gospel. Pretty simple. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go in there and he's going to preach the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, how you got to get saved. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews believed not. You know what? Some people believed and some didn't. But you know what he did? He was just going to keep preaching that gospel. In verse number 2, it says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. You know what? They were shamefully entreated. That's over there in Acts chapter number 16. It says, and then from thence to Philippi, which they were shamefully entreated at Philippi, that Philippian church. Acts chapter number 16, verse 12, and that from thence at Philippi, which is the chief city among the part of Macedonia, and in the colony, which were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, and she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And here's where they get shamefully entreated. I mean, it started off pretty good. You're going to have that, by the way, if you witness to people. Some witnessing goes great, but sometimes it doesn't. And it came to pass, verse number 16, as a prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. You know, she followed him around there many days, saying, these men be the servants of the Most High God. She's like a little hype gal. Yeah. Just hyping people up. And some people would say, well, what's wrong with that? Is she saying anything bad? She's speaking the truth. But it ain't the right spirit. I mean, there's other people out there that, oh, they believe in Jesus too. Well, Lord said, not everybody that calleth me Lord, Lord is going to be there. That's what the Lord said. They have this, and I don't recommend it all, but I watched, it wasn't the Holy Spirit in her. But I watched this one episode with Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan's an ex-Navy SEAL. He worked CIA and did this, and he has these podcasts where he has military people on there. And this, some of you probably remember, I don't even know about it because it was a little younger than me. Remote viewing. Anybody know what that means? Yeah. So way back in the day, the government actually made people that would become psychics. And it worked. It's crazy. I mean, it's a spirit of divination. And I listened to this whole thing and it's wicked. This guy wasn't some weird voodoo witch doctor, but he was probably like this lady right here. And these people, what the government does is they use music, certain tones. Some of these churches do the same thing. They'll play a tone, blah, get you in that trance state. These mega churches with all the lights and stuff, they know what they're doing. Sure. Trance music, tech, all that stuff. But then they'll induce you with a drug because the spirit world's real. It's real. And the stuff this guy was saying, if you look at it from a biblical standpoint, and you're like, that's Bible! You know what I mean? Yeah. That's Bible right there. They're using Bible, but they're twisting the truth and not using it and for godly reasons. There's nothing holy they're doing. Oh, but they use it to find a lost kid, so it must be of God. They ain't the servants of, they're servants over here, but that person's a soothsayer. Yeah. They're not the Holy Spirit filled. Some of the stuff he said was crazy. That Sean Ryan asked him, he said, so how do you get into this state where you can go be a psychic? And this is what he said. I couldn't believe it. You know what he said? He goes, I had to learn to set my ego aside. Pride. I'm like, that's Bible. These six things that the Lord hate. What's that first one? Pride. I gotta set my ego. I'm not that guy. You know, I gotta get away from my pride. Oh. But he's not using it for godly reasons. I'm telling you, I'm getting goosebumps right now. The stuff he'd say like that, but it's not holy. It's not Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of divination. It's crazy. And Paul's going to get... This was this lady. This is where he starts to get beaten, shamefully entreated, because he cast out the devil in this lady. Yeah. He said, you know what? I don't need a hype gal. Bye-bye. The name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. And that was it. And when her master saw, verse number 19, that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. Man, that's shamefully entreated. For standing up for what you believe in. Verse number 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And we know this story. We know this story. But it's a good reminder just to be in, to be a light in a dark place. Let your light shine in a dark place. Let your light shine in the worst conditions and how other people benefit from it. And he called for a light, verse number 29. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway. I like how it says that. He and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into this house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. But even after that, they let him out. There was much contention. They were shamefully entreated. But they were bold in God and the gospel of God. Well, they preached it at Philippi and at Thessalonica. And the Bible says there, and he says they preached it with much contention. Even the Jews believed not. Thessalonians, or Acts chapter 17, they moved with envy. Those Jews did. When they went over to Thessalonians, they moved with envy and took certain fellows, the lewd fellows, the baser sort, and accompanied them and assaulted Jason's house with much contention. You know, if you preach the gospel of God, there's still going to be much contention. That's it. And here's the groundbreaking statement. If you go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ, you're going to get contention. You ready for it? Nothing's changed.
True.
Nothing's changed. But people are still going to get saved. And some people are going to reject it. The problem is Christians. Christians don't tell the gospel anymore. Christians aren't bold in the gospel anymore to go out and tell the gospel anymore. Why? Because there's contention. We shouldn't have contention. You know what I mean? There's no means do I want any contention with anybody in here. I love you guys. Hopefully y'all love me. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying. This isn't the place for contention. This is the place where we're going to get edified, built up, charged, exhorted, comforted. But when you go out there, the devil's done such a work out there that you're going to go out there and say, repent on the Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved. And you're like, I don't like that. I believe in Darwin. There's contention. It's never going to change until the Lord comes back. It's never going to change. There's always going to be contention in that. It's encouraging. To me it is. To be bold in the gospel. You still got to preach it. You can't be scared. It's the source of hope. Amen. It's the source of power. Look at Romans chapter. Hold your place there. First, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. The power is not in Mike Nemeth. It's not. I got nothing. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And verse number 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolishness, the foolish, the wisdom of this world? For after it, that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what that me up here is? It's foolishness. But God blesses it. Because we're going to try to lift up the Lord the best we can. Until we get up there in heaven and realize, man, I wasn't doing as good a job as I could have. But I'm going to try my best. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. Look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. He said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So people looked out there at Paul. You looked at a guy that was just, I mean, he came in there under the Thessalonians. Here's this guy who just got whipped and beat. And he's just, I mean, I don't know how he looked. His eyes were bad. Pastor's eye's bad too. Pray for his eye. I forgot about that. I said, maybe I'll ask the churchman. That's what Paul said. And he said, I suppose you would have gave me your own eyes as you would give them to me, because he's getting, anyhow. But looking at Paul when he came in and preached the example, that's why he was in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you looked at this guy and you're like, who is this guy? But the power of God just came off that man and people just understood. And they said, who is this guy? And they looked at him and they said, you know what? He's preaching the gospel. I'm going to go preach the gospel without fear and in the bonds. And I'm going to go out. He encouraged them just by what he was doing. That's what we need. I went out there to eat with Sean and John Robinson. And we was down there at Vancouver Waterfront Park. And we walked out there and getting ready to say our goodbyes. And I look out there and Sean Holst goes, man, this looks like a good place to preach. And he goes, you ready, Mike? I go, not really, but if you're going to go, you go first. Pastor John Robinson pulled out his Bible like this, and I go, oh man, here we go. You know what I mean? Yeah. Waxing confident and watching them. I'm not that guy. You know what I'm saying? But these two men are ready. I see one guy come up with tattoos all over his face. I mean, just covered. Tattoos on his face, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Right. John Robinson, he pulls out a coin. Hands him a coin. Gospel coin. That quick. I said, man, where's my track? Yeah. It's ready. Waxing confident by the, you know what I mean? These guys just got to start preaching. Then he goes, well, everybody looks so peaceful right now. Probably shouldn't. That's what he said. Oh. You know what? That's the same as back in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at that. Paul came in there and preached unto them. Much contention. Being bold in the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You know the Holy Ghost give you joy and much affliction? This world will not. A motorcycle might for a little bit. A gun might for a little bit. You know what I mean? I only said motorcycle because I just got one. But as soon as you put it back in the garage, it's like, oh. As soon as somebody cuts you off, oh. But joy come from that Holy Ghost. God will keep you in that joy. I was talking with the brother back there. People don't have it. And when you don't have it, you need to go back to it. And I can't tell you how many times you go back to this book and you pray and you read your book and all of a sudden you're like, I trusted in the Lord with that and now I don't have the anxiety about it. Now I got peace about it. Now I got joy about it. Don't call somebody up and expect to get an answer. I'm not against that. But if that's your first thing, I am against that. Because God can do a mighty work in your life. God will help you and give you that joy that you need. God's not dead. Amen. There's still people that are going to call on the Lord. People still looking for hope. People still need to be telling people about the gospel. You never know what a track will do. You, Miss Mir, you got saved by a track too, huh? Did you get saved by a track? No? Okay, I had that one wrong. Yeah. But people still get saved by tracks. It's a good place to start. People will take them. Praying for people. That was one thing that was kind of nice, right? When we were standing right there at Waterfront Park, and we all stood there and prayed for about a good 5 minutes. It's right out in the open. People walking all around you. We all just stood there, a group of three, just prayed. Didn't feel weird. It was actually comfortable. And a couple of Russian guys, talked to a couple of Russians. Pastor gave him a couple of tracks. We were talking to them. People take note of it. I don't think, there's not as much people believing all this stuff that's going on in the world. Last time I went, one of the last times I was up there at 7-Eleven. I don't know if I already told this or not. I was sitting in my truck. Guy I work with, he needed to go in there and get something to drink. Two guys get out of the truck, or out of their work truck. And, they start, lit up a joint. that's today. Yeah. That's it. Deal with it. But I handed him a couple of tracks. Say, hey man, here's one for you. Hey, what's this? I said, it's a gospel track of Jesus Christ. How you can get saved. How you can go to heaven. You know that you have a home in heaven. And he goes, oh wow, thanks man. <I'm> like, you never know. Right? You never know. That's why he said, well, we're fixing to go, we're going to get some more weed. And I said, you know, I used to do that stuff too. And I got saved, man, I don't do that stuff anymore. And he goes, for reals? I said, yeah, for real. Yeah.
There you go.
But they smoke weed. Yeah, I used to too. Right. You know, I don't do anymore. Got to try it. There's always going to be contention. And sometimes it's not going to be with the people. You're like, well, if anybody's going to contend, it's them pot smokers. Nope. He probably going to get a chunk of pizza and read the track. Man, is that really the truth right there? What you think? And I'm not trying to lift up sin, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, it was a pleasurable experience.
Sure.
There wasn't any. And then you know what he said? This is what he said when I left. I go, you guys have a good day. You too, sir. Thank you.
Sir.
Sir.
Right.
Yeah. I don't wear a pastor tag. I was wearing masonry clothes. Just caring about somebody. Just trying to be real. It's not always going to be like that. I remember when I went into the, I went into the AMPM. And I had, back when I had my 67 Chevy pickup, I went into that AMPM. And that's where I got my track from Rocco, is at that AMPM up there in Ridgefield. And I got a 67 Chevy pickup and I got a stack of gospel tracks in the ashtray. And there, but there was no cigarettes in there. But they're all stacked in there, and I'm pumping gas, my gas in there, and I look over, and there's 30 gypsy jokers. And I went, huh. And I look in there, and I'm pumping the gas, because right in the back of your 67 Chevy pickup, your door's right here, the gas tank's right here, right here. You ain't got to go all the way to the back. Right there. Gas tank's behind the seat. Start filling up my tank, and I look in there, and I see all these gospel tracks, and the Holy Spirit goes, this is where you got your gospel track.
Wow.
And I looked over and I went, oh no. And then I just, you know, I got this truck. It's a blue fender, white this way, red hood. I mean, it looks like Frankenstein 67 Chevy pickup. All the bikers are looking at it going, man, nice truck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I grabbed that fat stack of gospel tracks and I walked over and I go, did you guys get one of these? And I just start handing them out as fast as I could. Did you guys get one of these? By the time I got to the end, I had about four left to give out. And he goes, what is this? Blankety blank. Throws it on the ground. I go, okay, you guys have a nice day. A little contention.
Yeah.
A little contention. But you still got to do it. I got a story to tell later. You know? Didn't really work that time, but it worked a different time. Some are going to do it, some aren't. But it's encouraging. It doesn't. I shouldn't stop just because one person didn't. Because one person's going to get upset. You got to keep telling people. Keep going. Like Paul did. You know what he did? He went in there. You know what he did? He just shook the dust off. I gave him a track. They got the gospel. On to go get the groceries like my wife told me to. Go feed the horse. Whatever you got to do. You know what I mean? Seeds planted. You don't go back in there and, you know, you plant your seed then. Well, it's not sprouted yet. Okay. You know what I mean? Let God do the rest. Verse number 3 says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. You know what? He wasn't trying to misrepresent the truth. You know what he did? He just opened up the scriptures and let the scriptures speak for themselves. Paul did. Wasn't trickery. Wasn't sly. Or cunning intelligence. Wasn't even deceptive. He said, well, he's just going to go in there and you know what? He's just going to preach the gospel. I think we're about 5 minutes till right now, but I think I'll just pick it back up there in verse number 4. And we'll go from there. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this book. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the gospel, Lord, to save my soul. Lord, I thank you for the shed blood of your son. Lord, I thank you for everybody here, Lord. May you just continue to plant seeds in our hearts, Lord, and just, Lord, just do a mighty work in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.